Well, thank you, Pastor Andrew, for sharing that wonderful announcement and just the generosity that we're able to give to our missionaries. As we meet in our services live on Sunday, we're going to be dedicating baby Enoch, so Pastor Andrew and Melissa's son, Enoch. Pastor Andrew's family's in town, so we thought, let's not, dedicate him four times on Sunday. So we actually are just talking about it. You can see a picture here of Enoch. And on his head is actually pictures of Melissa's tummy, because she's also expecting soon. So they're going to have their fourth child at some point. So looking forward to that. Speaking of that, though, when we have a child in this church, you actually end up receiving a quilt. And here's a picture of the quilts that we have on display here in the church for the next month or so. And right in the middle, though, there's this metal frame. And this frame is showing us that they wanted to get some new equipment. It's called a short arm sewing machine, so you can crank out quilts. I mean, we crank out quilts anyways, all these wonderful ladies, but we want to be able to do that in a professional way as well. So we're going to be doing a fundraiser in the next month or so, trying to help them get this short arm sewing machine, which I don't know a lot about, but all I know is it's supposed to be awesome and majestic, and just basically just push a button and a quilt comes out, I think this is how it works. But we'll be raising some money for that. And also during COVID time, even though things have been a bit restricted, we still have people applying for memberships. So we have here this morning Twyla, who's become a member here at the church. So we wanted to celebrate and honor her. And again, we didn't want to bring her up for every service live, but here's a photo of her. So we thank God for her. She's going to be a wonderful asset to this church. So, good to know that. The Word of God today, as we look at it, I was just researching as I was going to dedicate Enoch, and I thought, I just wanted to read about Enoch. And as I began to read about him, wow, just all of a sudden the train started to, leave the station on thoughts and ideas about Enoch here. So we see in Genesis chapter 5, and last week, I was reminded by our good sound and technicians that I was pretty tired after a big day of fishing on the Friday before we recorded. And when I picked up the Bible, and honestly, it felt really heavy because my arm was exhausted just, slaying fish, lingcod and halibut and stuff. And isn't that the truth, though, when we open up the Word of God, there's some weight to it. This is not just a regular book. This is the Word of God. So I just want to take it seriously. I want to take it to heart. I want to take it like this is the only book that I need to fill me up. So let's just pray for a moment before we read the scriptures. God, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the truth of your Word. God, we thank you that it will speak to us whenever we push this button and listen to this message. You will meet with us. Your Holy Spirit is all around us, and it wants to speak to us. So we thank God for that. Thank you, Lord, for this Word that will speak to us today. In Jesus' name, we claim that. So in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, it says that Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. Now, when I see that in Scripture that Enoch was around and all of a sudden he wasn't around anymore, it wasn't like, when we pass away that our bodies go into the ground and then our spirit or our soul goes to heaven. Like his whole body was no more. Like people couldn't find him. He just checked out. And when I look at that kind of a thought in scriptures, we would find two other people where that same thing happened. So in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, we find another person where this happened. It says, as they were walking along and talking together, now this is Elijah and the next prophet of the day, Elisha, were just walking and talking together. Suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Oh, I just love that imagery. Often I watch shows and movies and, of like what they're trying to do and portray. And I just thinking, well, wouldn't this be a fun thing to see on the big screen in the movie theater? Like a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. So again, the sidekick Elisha looked around for Elijah, and he honestly was no more. It wasn't that his body had passed away. And again, his spirit went up, like all of him went up. And I just thought, well, isn't that an interesting thing to read about? And then we see in the New Testament here that there's Jesus. Obviously, we know Jesus. We know his resurrected body ascended into heaven. We can pick it up in three different stories here. Mark chapter 16, verse 19, it says, "After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God." Then we see in Luke's perspective as well, in Luke chapter 24, "When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven." And in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, we see, "After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight." So when I read these stories and I think about us, you know, how do we apply that to our lives? What does that mean to us? And I think, is that the goal of a Christian? That we're going to walk with God so closely that all of a sudden one day we just won't be here anymore. So we see three stories of that in Scripture. But I don't think that's a doctrine that we would accept as like that's the purpose of a Christian, is to get so close to God that we'll just be able to leave this corrupt world and check out for crying out loud because it's so crazy. Like that's not what we want to take away from this. So what do we want to take away from this? We see that these individuals in the Old Testament were really, again, we talk about this so often, about foreshadowing or a type and a shadow of what Jesus Christ was going to do in the New Testament. We see here that Enoch and Elijah were foreshadowing what Jesus was going to do, that he was going to leave the earth because he was so close to God. He was God. He was walking with God. He listened to his heavenly Father, and he left the earth. So we see that not as a way that you and I should live our lives to one day want to just ascend and check out. Obviously, we're going to go at some point and our souls will go, our spirits will go to heaven to be with the Lord. But what is important here? What do we take away from? And that's what I want to spend a little bit more time on. And we go back to the same story when we looked at Enoch. Let's just look at that. And what truth can we take away from the story besides ascending to heaven? So in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "When Enoch lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years, a ripe old age. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away." We already just read that. But the important thing is here that Enoch, he walked with God. If we think about historically, he was the seventh from Adam, and we look at the descendants from Adam, they were not referenced or referred to as somebody that walked with God. We see that the heart of Enoch, he had, out of all the descendants, he had the heart to live for God, not only to just live for this world. We see the other descendants were just living in the world. But then we see Enoch was living in the world, but he was walking with his God. Enoch was entirely dead to this world. He did not walk, not only walk after God. He didn't just walk, like, I'm just going to walk after God and his ways and his rules. I'll just kind of follow God. As all good men do, as you and I do, we want to follow God's ways and follow God's commandments. But he actually walked with God as if he were in heaven already. I love that concept. I've just read some wonderful books about we don't have to wait for eternity, wait for heaven. We can live that way right now. We can be close to God. When we accept Jesus Christ into our life, we're now with him. We're one with him. I know that we'll be in a place that's perfect and it'll be wonderful when we're in heaven, but we don't just wait till then. We don't say, oh my word, I just want to check out like these other characters. There's like, oh God, please just, you know, let me ascend on chariots of fire and that kind of stuff. Let me get out of here because it's so crazy. No, people actually lived in this world, in this corrupt world, and walked close to God through it. I love that thought. It's such a wonderful thought. It was to make God's word our rule and his glory our end in all of our actions. How do we live our lives in today's society? How do we walk with God in today's society? We make his truth our end goal, our actions. Everything that we do, we want to find truth in here so that we know how to live our lives. It's to live a life that's really in communion with God. It's the end of the month, and we often do communion together when we actually can find elements that we can take together during restriction times. But we want to have communion with God. We want to walk with God. We want to remember God. We don't want to just know about God or have information about God. We actually want to walk closely with him. Communion with God was to him, to Enoch, better than life itself. He just wanted to follow God's rules. In the world, in a sense, I used to live this way for a long time. I walked contrary to God. But you and I, that we know God, we want to walk boldly. We want to walk with God. We want to talk with God. So we see here also in the New Testament, we see in Hebrews chapter 11, there's a reference to Enoch. And what does it mean? What are they trying to say here? So it says in verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was taken from this life. We know that he ascended so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. We've already read that thought. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now, he didn't please God because he followed rules. He didn't please God because he just followed after God or knew about God. He was pleasing to God because he knew his God. He walked with his God. He gave up his life for his God. Jesus Christ gave up his life for you and I. That's a type and a shadow and of our example that we're supposed to do the same for God. We're supposed to give up our lives, give up our ways. And we would say, well, I could do that, God, if it was good, if everything was going well, if life wasn't so challenging, it wasn't so corrupt and crazy and polluted out there, I could actually walk with God. But I actually have to learn how to walk with God in the midst of craziness. Well, I'll show you just many, many stories here of people that walked with God in the midst of chaos. So let's go find those people in the Bible. So we see that people walked with God, and then we're also going to see people that walked with God and were blameless, even in the midst of craziness. Let me just shed just a bit of light before we look at these three characters. When we think about being blameless, to me, that just seems like a heavy thought. Like, oh my gosh, I have to be blameless. To me, that in my mind, my simple English mind, I think I have to be sinless. I have to be perfect. Is that even obtainable? Are you kidding me? So when we think about being blameless, we think about we want to honor God with our lives. We want to serve God with our lives. We want to try and do the right things in the midst of chaos and corruption and even our own sin sometimes. You know, we're going to fall short at times. But it just means that we just continue to walk after God. Just because we make a mistake, we don't walk away from God. We don't walk contrary to God. We say, God, I'm just so sorry, and get right back on the path. That's what he's talking about here. So when the people do these kind of things, let's see what it says about them. Let's go right back to Genesis. We'll pick out three different people here because there's so many of them. But in Genesis chapter 17, we see this individual. His name is Abraham. And we see here that it says in verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, oh, wow, isn't that just a wonderful thought? The Lord appeared to him. Man, I just want to walk so close to God that I feel like God is appearing to me. I feel like God is talking to me. I feel like God is leading me. That's just a great thought. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, it says. So again, walk before me, walk with me, and be blameless. Give up your life. Serve me. We see here that Abraham is like a shadow, a type of Christ in the Old Testament, really, that had nowhere to lay his head. That would be the reference that we would take away from here. We see that Abraham left his family, lived in a land that wasn't his own, and he didn't have anywhere to put his head, in a sense. In the same way, Christ did the same thing, right? People said, Christ, I want to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, well, I don't even have anywhere to go and put my head down. I don't have a house. I have a spiritual house. I don't have an earthly house. So the second person we see is in chapter 1 of Luke. And in Luke chapter 1, we pick up a story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And in verse 5, it says this. In the time of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly. And you think about that. They observed all, that word right there, the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Or what? You know, I just think about a time when King Herod was around. We read the stories, like it was corrupt and crazy times. But they were able to walk in a way that was righteous and upright and blameless in the eyes of God, even during that time. And I think about today. I mean, I don't need to remind you of all the things that are going on and all the decisions that are being made. This is an interesting time of history for us. And I'm not saying that all these things are wicked and evil and corrupt and bad, but it's challenging sometimes to live today when these decisions are being made. But even in the midst of that, we can still walk so close to our God, just like this wonderful example to us. I would say that the time that they walked around was way crazier than the time that you and I are walking around. And even in the midst of that, they were able to walk around close to God, even though things were very corrupt. Let's look at another story. Well, we're just going back and forth in old to new. We look at Genesis again. Wonderful stories in here. Genesis chapter 6, we pick up a story of Noah, verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Let me just pull out a couple things about Noah here that are going to be important to know. Noah's name meant rest. Listen to what it says here in Genesis chapter 5, verse 29. He named him Noah and said, he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. Noah will comfort us. Oh, what does that sound like in the New Testament? Oh, that the Comforter is there, that the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us. Noah also brought comfort and rest, really in the sense it's talking about here, in the physical sense that we wouldn't have to toil over the land. Noah would help us with that. But we look at the New Testament, we look at the type and shadow of Jesus Christ. He will give us rest in the spiritual sense, in our soul. It says so clearly here in Matthew chapter 11 to echo what I just said, verse 28. It says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We know that part, but you will find rest for your souls in Jesus. As we walk with God, I don't know about you, but I need to find rest. I actually need some physical rest as well, but I need some spiritual rest. I need to rest and have peace in my life, peace in my heart, and I will find that in Jesus Christ. And I love the thought as we read through Scripture, as we read through any point in Scripture, you will see references of Jesus Christ. And then we flip to the New Testament. They're all stories about Jesus Christ. So we see that every story is leading us to Christ. Everything is a type and a shadow leading us to Jesus Christ. And when we think about that, it just causes me to say, thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, God, for truth in this Bible. Again, we see an Old Testament example of Jesus in Noah. As Noah lived his life, he was a human being. He did make mistakes, but we see examples of Christ in his life and in his decisions. So when I think about just a recap thought in my mind, is that as Enoch lived in such a way that he kept himself from being polluted by the world, we see that so clearly. We see Abraham lived after the time the Tower of Babel had happened. People's languages were all confused. And it was an interesting time of history, but he was still able to walk and talk with his God, even in that challenging, confusing time. We see Zechariah and Elizabeth lived under the corruption of a corrupt king and an evil time. Noah lived at a time when there was no one else that worshiped God. Think about that for a second. Just resonate there for a second. You remember God said, you know, there's so much evil and wickedness. I'm going to cleanse the earth. I'm going to keep Noah and his family. But no one else followed God. You know, we've got, you know, many people in this church. We've got many people in our communities. We've got many relatives and families that serve God. And sometimes I honestly have a hard time. There's things that come up. You're thinking, whoa, man, that's difficult. Poor Noah was all alone. And it says that he was commended for, you know, walking and being blameless with his God, even in the midst of that crazy time. So even though it's polluted, even though it's confusing, and even though it's corrupt, we can still trust our God. We can still walk close to our God. We can still trust our God. So if you're watching right now and you don't have any communion elements, I want to encourage you to just hit pause for a second. Go find some kind of bread or a cracker, and go find some kind of a juice. And we're going to take the communion elements together in just a moment. So I'm going to encourage you now to open the scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm just going to read through it, and then we'll take the elements together in just a moment. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' The same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Now, when it says, "in remembrance of me," I'm challenged by that thought as we looked at scriptures today about the reality of people living in a time that's corrupt and full of turmoil, and it's polluted and wicked and crazy. And I think about Jesus when he lived his life, when he came down to the earth, that he lived in the similar situation. It was corrupt and evil, and God was trying to do, Jesus was just trying to love people. He was trying to do good things. And he was given, because of that, he was given the cross. So when we come here, we remember that even during difficult times and difficult seasons and corruption and craziness, that Jesus was still able to fulfill what he was called to do. Jesus was still able to go around and love on people. He was still able to go around and heal people. He was still able to go around and share the love and the light of Christ, even in the midst of that. And then he went to the cross to fulfill the destiny that he was called to go to. So I believe for you and I that as we face life and we face challenges, that we can still trust God, that he still has a plan and a purpose, and he will fulfill what he wants to do. That the world and its authority and leadership are not directing, but Jesus is directing. God is in control, and we can trust him with our lives. So again, it says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, it says that he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Oh God, we trust you, Father. God, we thank you for sending Jesus as a wonderful example for how we should live and act and go about our daily lives in the midst of trials and struggles and tribulation. God, we thank you that Jesus fulfilled everything that he needed to do. He took it all upon himself so that he could have victory over the grave, so that you and I could have relationship with our God. God, we do this in remembrance of that. Oh, we thank you so much. It says, in the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Yes, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that we remember that the blood that you shed, it covered over us. That the blood that you shed brings victory and life to us. God, I just thank you, Jesus, that we can just be that confident as we remember what you did for us. Even in the midst of trials and struggles, you still had victory. You even had victory over death and the grave. So God, we praise you for that. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Well, it was an absolute treat and a pleasure to be with you today. I thank you for finding us on our YouTube or our Facebook, social media, or our website. We love you guys so much. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday.